Smartphones through the World Family app on your home telephone at this number.
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:02 Central Time, 11:02 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the Little School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and we're going to be using, as we usually do, the supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your pierced lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Always giving thanks to Our Lady. We give thanks every day for all that she's given us, including Mother Gabriel and the sisters and the School of Mary, and she's given Radio Maria under the patronage of our Blessed Mother. So there's so much to give thanks for. And we're going to be having an opportunity to do that also coming up in the month of May. Please save the dates, May 23rd to the 26th will be Radio Maria's Spring Mariathon. And this is really important because a few times a year, as you know, Radio Maria is totally listener supported. So we have to take advantage of these opportunities, not often during the year, but they're so vital to keep everything running, to keep the power on, the equipment refreshed, and everyone in place and happy. Like we ought to be. So just wanted to say that grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And at this time, I'd like to bring in Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter.
Hey, everybody.
It sounds like we have got several in the room today. See, we never know how many we're going to have because of all the obligations the sisters have.
4, 6, 7, 8,
and more coming, I'm sure.
That
are coming right now. I don't know where they are.
Okay. So I'll leave it up to you, Mother, if when you pass the mic, the baton, so to speak, if you want to introduce the sister that's speaking or go around the room now, whatever you want to do, it's you're in charge, as we know for sure. But really, we're grateful to have awakened today. We really are. And, some didn't wake today. We're awakened. And we have to treat every day like it's our last. So if we did that, I think we would make the most out of everything we have.
Yeah, every moment is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. And we have to be more aware of that, I think, you know, and all the gifts he gives us everywhere. Right now, it's springtime here. It's beautiful. We have flowers. We have birds singing. And, you know, it kind of reminds us to do those rounds in divine will, to put your I love you and all these beautiful gifts that God gives us, the sun shining. And when the rain comes, we thank him for the rain. We need the rain. Everything. God, nature is so beautiful. God gave us everything we need, and he continues to, his fiat goes, is like an echo, he says, through all of nature, through every person, through everything. This echo continually keeping things going. Nature is constant. We're not constant because nature is in his divine will. So we can be reminded by nature that we want to grow into that, being more constant more and more by becoming more and more Christ-like. God is constant in everything. He never fluctuates. He remains the same.
And Mother. It took me a while, to be honest with you, to understand and to comprehend that fiat always, you know, fiat, even when sort of bad things, as well, what we perceive to be bad things happen. And actually, yes, because if we think about our lives, just for example, the worst situation that happened in our lives, and just think seriously, if that didn't occur, would we be here today? And the answer is probably unequivocally no. It had to happen. It was sort of like being on a bumper car. We hit a wall, we went into a different direction. So sometimes God has to sort of pull the rug out from under us if we're not attentive to his signs.
Well, we have to believe what he says in the scriptures. All things work out for good for those who love him. Right. And so everything works out for our good. Chastisements, purification, everything is for our good because he loves us so much. He's a loving father who disciplines his children to get them where they should be, where he wants them to be, to save their souls. Louisa used to complain. She didn't want chastisements to take place. She didn't want people to suffer. But he would say, well, you don't understand. If I don't send these chastisements, their souls will be lost. The soul is more important than the body. If the body suffers, sometimes it's transformed and it changes. And then the soul changes. God can bring grace to the soul. I was just reading in volume 15, April 28, 1923. It says, my daughter, my divinity does not need to operate in order to make its works come out. It only needs to want them. So I want and I do. The greatest works, the most beautiful, come out of my mere wanting them. On the other hand, even if the creature wanted them, if she does not work, she does not move, she does nothing. Now, to one who makes my will her own and lives in it as in her own royal palace, the same power is communicated as much as is possible to the creature. So if we live in his divine will, just by wanting it, it happens. It's like you said before, Peter, the desire is all that's necessary. We desire. We desire to love God with his own love. We are loving him with his own love. We don't have to do anything but have the desire to want it. And as we live in his divine will, everything we want, it takes place. He looks at the desires of your heart and he makes them realities. They become realities. And we have to believe that. Now, Lord said it in these writings. It says, my daughter, do you think that the living in my will is nothing? No, no. On the contrary, it is the all. It is the fulfillment of all sanctities. It is the absolute dominion of oneself, of one's passions, and of one's capital enemies. It is the complete triumph of the creator over the creature. So if she adheres and I come to letting her live in my will without her ever again wanting to know her own, I have nothing left to want from the creature, and she has nothing left to give me. All my yearnings are fulfilled, my designs realized. There is nothing left but delighting in each other. It is true that I came upon earth to redeem man, but my primary purpose was that the divine will might triumph over the human will by according these two wills together and making them one, taking the human will into that will from which it had gone out. This was the main offense that my celestial father received from man, and I was to compensate him for it. Otherwise, I would not give him full satisfaction. But in order to obtain the first purpose, first I had to issue the second, that is to save him, to give him my hand since he had fallen, to wash him of the mud in which he was lying. How could I say, come to live in my will, if he was horrid to look at and was under the slavery of the infernal enemy? So living in his will is the greatest thing. And he said, that's why he came upon earth. First, he had to redeem us. But the greatest thing was he wanted us to live in his divine will. He had to come and be crucified and resurrect in order to give us the gift that we had lost. So we have to be so grateful to God for this great gift and how he continues to give us the gift of living in his divine will. Every moment as we want it. We pray that we'll never go out of his will. Once you desire to be in it, you're in it, unless you commit mortal sin, or then you go out committing venial sins and having faults. You just say you're sorry and you're right back in again. So we have to believe that even though we don't feel it, even though when we do these acts and rounds in divine will, we may not feel any big transformation, but it's actually happening because we desire it. We desire Jesus to do it in us. And he's doing it. We just do our daily activities like we always do, but know that he's doing it in and through us, that we don't have to do anything else but desire it and believe that it is happening. Have faith in what he tells Louisa.
Yeah, I think he says in volume 14, I don't have it in front of me today, Mother, but he says that Jesus had as his primary purpose, bringing the creature back to the divine will. And that is what he was as the primary purpose in creation and redemption and now in sanctification, because it is the beginning. We're the school of Mary. This is the greatest schoolyard do-over in the history of mankind. God is actually calling time out and saying, okay, 6,000 years, you guys creeped a little bit towards going back, but you can't get there by yourselves. I'm going to give you this opportunity. I'm going to give you this one great do-over, but you have to really trust me. And hence we're in the shadow of the divine mercy and the motto, I trust in you. Mother,
this is the greatest time to be alive. We're so fortunate because we have this gift now. If we'd been born a century back, you know, we wouldn't know about this gift. So how privileged we should feel and how grateful to God that we're in this time in history and that he's given us this gift. He's given us these beautiful writings, and be grateful to Louisa for all she suffered for us to obtain this gift. And Our Lady, in order to bring down redemption, how much she had to suffer. So we have to be grateful and thank God for them and take all their acts and rounds that they did throughout their lives. Take it as your own and give it back to him. And you get the same glory as they had. God gives you everything as gift. All that Jesus did throughout his life, all he suffered, you take it as your own and give it back to him, to give to his Father, to give the Father all the glory and honor he deserved had Adam and Eve never sinned.
Yeah, I mean, the ladies got us close to the finish line, our Blessed Mother and Louise. Come on, man, we've got to get us to the finish line. Let's win this race. Hi, sister. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you. It's true. We are in the very most beautiful time because back in the old days, divine will was there back in the beginning, but it wasn't clearly understood. There was no lessons about it. And so the saints in the past, all they did was really just doing the best they can to be virtuous. And so in a way, they're kind of like, you know, the hired or the loved servant, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. They didn't know they just didn't know. But in our time, we have the books, we are taught how to live in the divine will. So we're really in a much greater privileged time to where we can actually not just do the will of God, but allowing God in us to do the acts and to be grateful for everything, the creation, and just being ourselves, our being. You know, I'm meditating on in volume 35, October 31, 1937. I'll just read to you what I highlighted here because, you know, it's just really, even though it's short, but it speaks about what I am at this point in my life. You know, I lately have not been feeling well, just maybe allergies, what's going on with the changes in weather. And so I have been coughing, congestion and all that. And I just read a little bit here what Jesus said about our suffering. And she told Louisa, my daughter, I knew that you would have asked for my will at every fit of your coughing. And I felt my heart being wounded, bursting of love. I felt as if I were receiving in your coughing my immensity that wrapped me and asked me for my will, for my power and infinity that made everybody ask for my will to reign, to the extent that I myself was forced to say, my will come to reign, do not delay any longer. I feel such violence that I just do and say what the creature does and says. I'm just going to pause this for a little bit because, you know, whenever I cough and suffer, it's not me. Jesus says he is doing it himself in me. And so that is, in a way, redemptive suffering for me, and not for me, but for all. And then I'll continue here. He said, I want you to ask for my will in your suffering, in your sufferings, in the food you eat, in the water you drink, in the work you do, in sleep. I want you to commit your breath and heartbeat to ask that my will may come and reign. In this way, everything will be an opportunity for you to ask for my will. Even the sun that fills your eyes, the wind that blows upon you, the sky that lays over your head, everything must be an occasion for you to ask me for my will to reign in the midst of creatures. By doing this, you will place many pledges in my hands, the first of which being the whole of your being, so that you won't even move without asking for my will to be known and desired by all. It goes back to Peter, what you said about fiat, an opportunity to give God the glory in ourselves. You know, we cannot be afraid of anything. What people might, mother always reminds us, we cannot be afraid of what people may think about us or say about us, for as long as we are sincere with love of God, our intentions is pure, our disposition, and that our desire, you know, we desire for the divine will to reign, to be known. So we can't be afraid. Really, it's just Our Lady is the best example for that. She was not afraid. She was always giving her fiat, even though, you know, listen, we meditate on the Annunciation, how difficult it must be for her to say fiat. And, you know, so we can, our Blessed Mother is really the perfect example.
Yeah, you know, sister, you're right. This life on earth really is an opportunity for God to constantly test us. And he quizzes us also. But the beautiful thing about it is now that we recognize with the gift of living the divine will is that he's actually giving us the answers to the quiz and to the test before he gives it to us. So, yeah, it's like, you know, slipping the answers underneath the test sheet. And all we have to do is move the paper. But we have to recognize that the answers are there. And they are there in the book of heaven. Again, everything is there. Everything becomes more clear. Everything becomes explicated, as Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism states. Although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for what has already been given to us to be better understood over the course of centuries because of the explication, the expansion of our opportunity to understand what God's giving us. Mothers, sisters?
Yes, I was today reading the volume 20, October 15, 1926. And here Jesus tells about what will happen in heaven, like what we'll possess in the heaven if we do X and rounds in the divine will. In fact, you must know that in creation, my will enter the field of action in the human acts of the creature. But in order to act, it wants the act of the creature within its own, so as to carry out its operating and be able to say, my kingdom is in the midst of my children, and right within their inmost acts. In fact, as much as the creature takes of my will, so much do I extend my kingdom in her, and she extends her kingdom in my will. But according to how much she lets me dominate in her acts, so thus she expand her boundaries in my kingdom. And I give, and she takes more joy, more happiness, more goods, and more glory. In fact, it is established that in the celestial fatherland, they will receive as much glory, beatitude, and happiness for as much of my will as they have enclosed in their souls on earth. Their glory will be measured by that very will of mine that their souls will possess, nor will they be able to receive more, because their capacity and whiteness, it formed by the very divine will that they have done and possessed while living on earth. And even if my liberality wanted to give them more, they would lack the space to contain it, and it would overflow outside. So the fiat wants to find support on the human acts to dominate. And Luisa, she was continuously offering her acts as the field on which Jesus can lay his kingdom. So this is how important that we have to do our acts in the divine will. So to give the field to Jesus to work on us. And the daughter of divine will and newborn in it, it means to follow all of acts of divine will as its faithful daughter. In our human acts here, Jesus said that God created the field of action for divine will. And because we don't do his will, there is always void in our acts. And if we allow that divine will operate in us and have its way in us, it will give us the capacity of receiving all goodness. It's gonna make it bigger so that we can have more space to contain more divine will in us, to be filled with it. As much as we take divine will, so much does the will extend his kingdom in us. And the amazing thing is that the amount of glory, beatitude, and happiness increases in proportion to how much the divine will we enclose in our souls on earth. And the glory that we can possess in heaven is measured by the will of God, and which is the knowledge and acts and rounds that we do every day. And this is why the reason all the more that the more we do our acts in the divine will and allow it reign in our souls, the space and capacity contained it gets enlarged. So this is really inspires me to do more acts and rounds in the divine will, because the more I do, I will have more space and I will have a bigger capacity to receive it. And we are called to live in the divine will, not only to do it, but as Christians, we should do the will of God. But God our Father, he wants to give us more than that. And he wants from us more than just submitting ourselves to its commands, but he wants us to possess the divine will, not only after we die, but starting here on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants us to return into the will from which we came and to reacquire the happiness, the lost goods and the lost sonship, and possess his kingdom as his true children.
Wow. Perfect timing there, sister, with the elasticity of the soul, being able to take in more of God. You know, you also mentioned, we're a few minutes away from the break. You mentioned about Jesus mentioning the resurrection of our human will. That's the real resurrection, as Jesus tells us. Actually, it's located in volume 36. Now, that volume 36 is sort of like the last volume, and it's the finale. And we know at a fireworks display, again, poor analogy, but you know, everything is let loose in the finale. So you go away, you're invigorated. God is doing the same thing. He's sort of wrapping things up, summing everything up, and giving us all these really important highlights. But he mentions in volume 36, August 20th, 1938, he talks about the real resurrection. And this is what he says, quote, oh, that's actually Louisa starting. After this, I continued my round in all that our Lord did on earth, and I stopped in the act of resurrection. What triumph, what glory. Heaven poured itself on earth to be spectator of such a great glory. And my beloved Jesus says, my daughter, in my resurrection, the right was given to creatures to rise again in me to new life. It was the confirmation, the seal of my whole life, my works, my words. If I came on earth, it was to give to each and every one my resurrection as their own, to give them life and to make them rise again in my own resurrection. But do you want to know where the real resurrection of the creature? It's not in the end of her days, but while she is still living on earth. One who lives in my will rises again to light and says, my night is over. She rises again in the love of her creator, so that there is no more cold or snow for her, but the smile of the heavenly spring. And she rises again to sanctity. End of quote. That's incredible. Mothers, sisters, you know, when Jesus tells us, I mean, everyone always thinks, at least I'm generalizing, but a resurrection at the end. But Jesus wants to resurrect the human will. It's interesting how, you know, how the will was sort of, the human will was sort of debilitated. The body that God gave to Adam and Eve was now subject to decay. The only thing that's going to last for perpetuity in one of two places is our soul. And now God is building back around that again. The nucleus never left. And now God is putting around the sort of the ornaments again. And he says this is the last, I think he uses the word mother, the last ornament is going to be dressed with the gift of the divine will, because it's the culmination of everything. It's the umbrella in which everything, all vocations, all religious orders, all gifts, all sacraments, everything that God has given us. And he tells us that, I think, in volume 14. But we're really blessed. We're really blessed to be alive, like we said, at this time. And yeah, the interesting thing is that God tells Louisa that the time is now. He says, finally, we're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, live from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the kindergarten of the divine will, the School of Mary, with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And if you'd like to know more about the mother and the daughters, you can go to their website, benedictinesofdivinewill.org. And if you'd like to know more about the Divine Will, you may go to our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. Actually, you'll find a lot of recordings of Mother and the sisters, because twice a month we do a live cenacle for like 90 minutes, and it's so you can never get enough of Mother and the sisters, that's for sure. So we're struggling to understand this divine will. And, you know, Jesus tells us too that we're not going to get it. But it all depends on our perspective and how we're addressing it. I remember volume 36, May 9th. Again, volume 36 is that finale. May 19th, 1938. Our Lord gives us a really good hint here on how to do this. So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will find my flames and will be all transformed in love, and they will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and to find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produce two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light, giving sight to their intelligence. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths. End quote. Mother, sisters.
So glad you said that, Peter. We're still trying to understand this divine will thing.
Me too.
It's so true. It's like, just when we think we've understood something, it's like the Lord's like, no, we're never going to exhaust the fount. But, you know, it's comforting to all be in the same boat of, you know, treading water. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. But as long as our head is above water, that's right. Very true. Good analogy. Exactly.
I was actually reading today the same passage that Mother read, but I'm going to read the end of it, which she hadn't read yet, which comes from April 28th. 1923, volume 15, because you were talking before about, you know, the resurrection of our bodies and how God at the end, but God now wants to resurrect our wills. And this passage actually made me think of that exact thing. So Louisa says, and while he was saying this, it was as though many seas were coming out of him, which poured upon me, and I remained inside of them sunken. And at the same time, a sun beating down with its light, receiving the complete fruit of redemption in order to be able to give the complete fruit of its will to the creature. It was the sun of the eternal volition, which celebrated the entrance of the human will into its own. And Jesus said, this divine will of mine grew within my humanity like a flower, which I transplanted from heaven into the true Eden of my terrestrial humanity. It germinated in my blood. It sprouted from my wounds to make of it the greatest gift to the creature. Don't you want to receive it? And I, meaning Louisa, yes. And he, I want to transplant it into you, love it, and know how to keep it. I don't know. This passage just touched me very much today. I don't know if I'm going to be able to put it into words, but it just reminded me the importance of our humanity. You know, Jesus took on flesh. You know, that's what gives our humanity. God created us. And then Jesus took on our own flesh, which gives our humanity so much dignity. And where is our human will exercised? It's exercised in our bodies, in our flesh. I was reflecting the other day on the sacraments. You know, what does God use for the sacraments? You know, the priest doesn't just stand over a baby during baptism and say some magic words and poof, it happens. The church wants water as part of that baptism, oil, the sacrament of confirmation, the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. They all involve specific words. They all involve specific materials. It's even the other day when I was reading I feel like I'm going all over the place. I apologize for that. I was reading the Gospel of Mark, and something struck me, which never struck me before, just how hands-on in that gospel Jesus is. You know, he cured the deaf and the dumb man by putting his fingers on his tongue and his fingers in his ear. And that's also the gospel where Jesus cures the blind man by putting I think mud on his eyes, mud and mixed with his own spit. And I was just very touched by this, because a lot of times we can want to throw ourselves totally in the spiritual and forget that, like, our bodies, the physical world around us is what brings us to that spiritual. And I felt like in this passage, like, that's the heart of the divine will. We can't get to the divinity of Christ without passing through his humanity. His humanity is the doorway. And that's where the acts come in, you know, and everything we do, it can become a sacrament. You know, we're the sacred vessels where Jesus wants to incarnate himself in us. When we invite him, we invite his humanity and his divinity, his whole person into our whole person. And he doesn't want that just to be at specific times when we're in prayer or when we're at mass or when we're receiving sacraments. I mean, those are all wonderful things, but it's almost as if he wants to extend those sacraments to every aspect of our being. He wants our acts, the little things we do during the day, to be liturgy. He wants, when I eat breakfast in the morning, that fork or that spoon to be the sacred vessel. And he wants that act to become an act of worship towards him. And as I was thinking this today, I thought, wow, that's very Benedictine, because Benedict talked about that, you know, treating, you know, the everyday things in the convent as sacred things, just as important as we consider the sacred things that are used on the altar. And I just feel like that's the divine will. And I know as I start to keep that in mind, it's the acts become more real. They stop being a formula. They stop being kind of a checklist that I have to do, but they really become an act of worship. I think that we were intended, that Adam and Eve were intended to do, that we're intended to do with our baptismal priesthood. Obviously, it can never be confused with the ministerial priesthood, but everything needs to be an act of worship. And even the things around us, that's what rounds are, the created goods that God wants to use. He doesn't want us to throw them away or be afraid of them. Even the things that give us delight, they're all to, if we look at them with like a sacramental view, they're all to lead us to him as our final goal. And I feel like the more as I read more the divine will, I feel like these lessons that he gives to us through Luisa, it's like those are the glasses that he wants us to put on. This is how he wants to live our life. And I feel like that will lead to our resurrection. The more our human will is abandoned to the divine will, asking Jesus and his humanity and divinity to come do everything in us, once our human will is resurrected, that's going to lead at the end to our glorified humanity, because that humanity partook in that abandonment of our human will into the divine.
That was beautiful. And you thought that was all over the place. That was so succinct. that was, you know, you mentioned about Jesus giving Luisa, you know, this, and said, so basically he's told her, I'm going to germinate this really quickly, if I may. Volume 12, January 24th, 1921. Our blessed Lord speaking to Luisa, quote, "So shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate within you. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then a few souls, and then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption." So don't be discouraged. You don't have to be a priest or a sister to receive this divine will. In fact, Jesus tells us very clearly, four elements: state of grace, we have to have an ardent desire, upright intention. We want this not just for ourselves, but for everyone. And we need to ask. I think one of the sisters mentioned about asking. God wants to hear us ask. He actually loves our words. And think about how inappropriately we use them sometimes. But he loves to hear us speak, whether it be subliminally or vocally. Sister?
Yeah, so what I love about doing acts and rounds in the divine will is that anyone can do it. Like, no matter what age you are or what vocation you have, acts and rounds are for everyone to do. So it's really important to remember to do them throughout the day. And today I'd like to read this passage from April 29th, 1933, from volume 32, where Jesus tells Luisa about one who does the divine volition takes earth, and one who does the human volition takes earth. and one who does the divine takes heaven. And Jesus tells Louisa, my daughter, to live outside of my divine will is to live without connection to the divine life, separated from heaven, as if one had no friendship, knowledge, or relationship with the celestial Father. One can say that while he knows that he has his Father, yet he does not know him. He lives as far away, and therefore he does not participate in his divine goods. Even more, because every act of human will that he does, he always takes earth, and this he knows and loves. And he participates in the unhappiness that the earthly produces, because he goes acquiring with his human acts, such that the human will, without the connection with the divine, knows how to produce much earth that sows passions, thorns, sins, and collects miseries, sadnesses that embitter life. So every act of the human will does nothing other than take a little bit of earth. On the other hand, every act that one does of my will, the creature loses the human terrain and acquires the terrain of heaven. Therefore, every act that she goes doing of divine volition, she takes heaven and goes enlarging her celestial properties. And I myself administer to her the seed, and acting as celestial farmer, I sow together with her the most beautiful virtues, and I form there my sojourn, my refuge, my delights. And I find no difference either remaining in heaven together with the saints in the celestial regions, or remaining in the heaven of this creature. Rather, I experience more pleasure in remaining in the heaven of the human will on earth, for the reason that in it I have something to labor in order to be able to increase this heaven even more. Therefore, I can make new acquisitions, receive new love. And reading this, it just really emphasized to me the importance of doing acts and rounds, and how important it is to not waste time. Life is so short, and eternity is forever. So it's really important to use our time wisely, to do acts and rounds when we can remember, and to just remember that. I remember reading somewhere in the Divine Will that those in heaven, they can't make new conquests or like gain new terrain because what they did is done. But those who are still on earth, they can still like acquire new terrain and increase their heavens even more. And along with that, continuing down in the same passage, Jesus tells Louisa how we're all like noble princesses who descends from the heights of the heavens. So I'm going to read this quick passage where Jesus tells Louisa how we're all like noble princesses. But to our sorrow, we see that as she descends into the exile, she does not think about her royal place anymore, nor about the nobility of her origin. And she would want to slip away from our will, which more than a tender mother carries her in her arms, and making use of the doors of the senses that we have given her, she descends into the baseness of her human will. These doors we had given her to rise again to us, so that she can make her little escapes from the exile into the bosom of her Creator. Instead, she makes use of them to make her little escapes into miseries, into weaknesses, into passions, such that descending from her nobility, she recognizes that she is no longer the princess of heaven, but the servant of the earth. Yet despite this, we do not close our doors, that our love, our paternal goodness, and our compassion and mercy, the expectations that we have. And no sooner do we see that she closes her doors in order to come into our will, than we go to meet her, we open wide our doors to her. So reading this, it reminded me of how every time we choose to do our human will, we're being like that princess who goes away from her noble origins, who takes the terrain of the earth instead of heaven.
Yeah, so I was also reading
from the volume 18, December 6, 1925. At that moment, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and stretching out his arms, it seemed he wanted to embrace everyone and everything. Then rising up high, he offered everything to the Celestial Father, and then said to me, "Daughter, the true living in the Supreme Will is exactly this. I must find everything and everyone in the depth of the soul, everything that my will has delivered in creation for the good of the creatures must be bound in the soul with her love. By living in my will and through her return of love, she is already bound and in possession of all that my will has done and will do. And she loves as my will loves and can love. So given all this, by truly living in my will, and by having bound everything to herself, I find in the soul the starry heavens, the refulgent sun, the vastness of the seas, the prairies of flowers. I find everything in her. Therefore, is it not right that the soul, jumping from one thing to another, upon all that is mine and hers, recognize it, and playing upon all created things, impress on each one of them her kiss and her little I love you? For the one who has created so many things, to give them as gifts to the creatures, displaying to him by this as many different loves for as many things as he created, since he so much loves that man be happy, that he gave him not only what is necessary, but also the surplus." So while I was reading this today, it also came to my mind as today is the feast of Saint Luis Maria Grignon de Montfort. The saints especially devoted to Mary, and I just read an inflamed prayer of his that also reminded me of his, like, it is one prayer, like, reading it you really feel that love. I mean, as he was also talking about the divine will, as here says, and he was also in that prayer talking about the apostles of the end times who will live only by the will of God, like having no mother, no father, like no one, only be sustained by God. And what touched me, I will just quickly say, it writes, so they will be as four evangelists. So as a man, the signs of the four evangelists, as a man having a kind compassion to everyone, as an lion towards enemies of the truth, like being having courage to fight for the truth, and as the bull towards themselves, like being very strict with themselves, with mortifications and all, and as eagles towards God, towards the things of heaven. So yes, it really struck me, because as it says in this passage, like Jesus wants that to find everything, you know, in the soul that lives by his will. And it is just, yeah, very beautiful and incomprehensible how he created us to have that capacity. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you also, sister, for reminding us about the Feast of St. Louis de Montfort. I had actually forgotten about that. Just two quick quotes from St. Louis that come to mind. The first one is, again, I may not be exact here, but forgive me for that. But one of the first quote is, "If anyone does not have Mary as their mother, then they do not have God as their father." That's the first quote, which I think is very powerful. And the second one, I think, is very personal to St. Louis de Montfort, and very personal to me as well. It goes, "If it were not for Mary, my soul would have already been damned," end quote. So those two are very powerful. And there's so many quotes from St. Louis de Montfort, you know, between him and St. Maximilian Kolbe, the two greatest Mariologists that I know of, that loved our mother that we can always implement. And also, when Grace was speaking about that new terrain, oh, by the way, hi, Grace. That new terrain that Grace was talking about, it's accidental glory. The saints in heaven cannot generate any new glory for themselves, any new benefit for themselves. But us on earth now, with the opportunity to suffer, we can. If we do an act of the divine will, God showers this accidental glory, this additional glory, not generated, it's accidental, in essence, the word of it. But it's the communion of saints, in essence. We're sharing in the joy of our Lord and what God's given us. Mothers, sisters.
Okay, so since we're running out of time, unfortunately, I picked a long passage, so I'll try to shorten it as much as I can. This is from volume 26, April 28th. If anyone who wants to follow along, it's just at the very end, I would say like the last three paragraphs, but you see in the little description, what struck me the most was everything is safe in one who lives in the fiat, while everything is in danger in one who does the human will. So I think I'll just go ahead and not quote from the writings. I'll just go ahead with my little mini commentary due to time constraint. So I think, what made me think of it was like when we're in a state of grace, you know, the soul is protected. Like Jesus here was saying is that my divine, it places everything it possesses in safety. And then on the other hand, the human will renders everything unsafe, even sanctity itself. So it's kind of like the same thing with us, with our souls. When we're in a state of grace, we're protected. We have God's protection. You know, we're strengthened. You know, our virtues are strengthened. We have a better chance of overcoming temptations and a lesser chance of like falling into sin, usually. But then, yes, like when we give into weaknesses or we have occasions of sins and through our own fault, we visit or are near those occasions of sins, we're weakened or we lose, you know, the state of grace, then of course, you know, basically we just open up the door and let the devil just walk right in. So, so basically like, you know, so then that's when you're in danger, you have a higher risk of committing every and any kind of sin and completely giving in to your desires and whatnot. And so that's what Jesus was trying to say here with Louisa. The difference is how with the divine will, everything that it possesses is safe, it's secure. And then on the other hand, with the human will, our will, it renders everything unsafe, even sanctity itself.
My quote is, I mean, the passage I chose is from October 19, 1911. Okay. I'll begin with Jesus speaking to Louisa. It's actually from October 17th. Jesus is saying, this is when Louisa is resting in Jesus. I alone enjoy you. When I put you out, everyone enjoys you, and you can take the defense of your brothers and you can plead for them. So this is in the same vein as when you spoke about the value of suffering in your last comment, Peter. And since you are a pilgrim soul, you can take the pains of others as well as mine upon yourself. And by this, you have the strength to disarm me. And then he's referring to the saints in heaven, that they no longer have these weapons, referring to sufferings or any crosses during this life on earth that we bear. So the saints no longer have these weapons to disarm our Lord, whereas we are very blessed to still be on earth and to carry crosses and the little sufferings throughout the day. And thank you.
She knows how to make
I feel like we're losing so much at the end here. You know, I think I have to speak less so we can hear more of Mother and the sisters. I think that's going to happen. I'm very disgruntled at myself today. In fact, I'm going to scold myself after I go off here. But you know, it's all so beautiful because you know, we're getting this slightly different perspective on the same thing. It's all the truth, but for, you know, it's like coming to a restaurant and getting there, you know, through a myriad of different ways. And it's so beautiful because we can each we can all each resonate with everything that you're saying, mother and sisters, and we can actually be empowered by what you're saying, because it may add or take something away from what we already think. Again, it's just this constant molding that God does himself. And of course, I think gives us a little bit of flexibility to help each other also as we journey through this maze of human life. Well, we've got about 1 minute before Larry gives us the hook. Mother, any thoughts, closing thoughts?
I'd just like to suggest to everyone to read the Our Lady's book during the month of May, which is coming up. I think Sunday's the 1st of May. So, you know, Our Lady is very, it's really great. I just want to read this one little thing here. It says, I was thinking to myself, when my sweet Jesus speaks of his will, he often unites with it the sovereign queen of heaven or the creation. He seems to delight so much in speaking of both one and the other that he keeps looking for opportunities, pretexts, and devices in order to manifest what the most holy divine will does, both in the celestial mama and in the creation. Because we have to realize how great Our Lady is. I mean, Our Lady is... you know, he identifies her with the divine will and creation and his celestial mother, both of them together. So we just really have to go to our mother and pray during the month of May to her, ask her to help you to live in the divine will every day, take her hand and help her, ask her to help lead you and guide you throughout every day to live in his most holy divine will. She loves you as her, as a dear mother of yours, and she wants to help you to live in the divine will. That's the greatest thing you can do, and it delights her because it delights her son.
Amen. why don't we close with that, with one of those quotes from St. Louis de Montfort on today's feast day. He says, quote, anyone who does not have Mary as his or her mother does not have God as his or her father, end quote. Remember that. Let's remember Radio Maria in our giving, both spiritually and financially. And thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. We hope we see everyone and listen to each other next week on Thursday. Ciao.
All right, great.